Great. Looks like everyone's got it. Reading Psalm 123, but I'm going to pray before we read. Father God, we thank you for your word, but it is powerful. Please help us to understand it now as we look through Psalm 123. Amen. A song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master. As the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. This is the word of the Lord. What do you do when you're being looked down upon? When people take the mick out of you or your beliefs or what you stand for, how do you react? It's not a nice feeling. If you're in school or work or in a coffee shop or in Tesco or a family event, when someone mocks you for what you believe, how do you react? Do you tell the boss? Do you tell the teacher? Do you tell your parents? Do you tell your friends? How do you, or would you react if someone mocked you for being a Christian? Now, our psalm today, what we just read, is about God's people looking up to the Lord, praying to the Lord when people are looking down on them, when people are speaking badly of them, taking the mick out of them. Our psalmist wants God's people to rely on the Lord when in times of being looked down upon by others. Let's read again from verse 1. The Song of Ascent. I lift my eyes to you, lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Firstly, we see that only the Lord can show mercy. Only the Lord can show mercy. The psalmist here relies on the Lord, looks to the Lord. It says, I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. The psalmist isn't looking elsewhere. Their reaction isn't doing something themselves first, but to trust the Lord with their problems. The psalmist today, the writer of this short song, uses interesting language to describe the reliance he or she has on the Lord. And it's quite stark language. It uses the language of slaves and masters. It's quite stark language, but this psalmist, he's making a big point here. That's why he's using controversial, big language. Only the Lord can provide mercy. It's in their hands, in his hands, like an owner of a slave. And this isn't an endorsement of slavery. It isn't saying slavery is okay. It's a way of saying that the people's dependence on God and submission to God should be no less total than the most obedient servant of an earthly master. Can we have the eye off the screen, please? A slave receives what they need from their master. It's reliance. But like a slave looks to the master for what they need, God's people look to the Lord for what they need. It's like two kids getting into a fight in the playground. One kid runs away and asks the teacher to stop it. But they're both in the wrong. The kid is asking for mercy. The kid is asking for something he doesn't necessarily deserve from the teacher. And he's asking the teacher to stop it, to help him. But it's only the teacher who can help him. And this is what mercy is in this situation, asking for help. So psalmist is asking the Lord to stop something from happening, something bad from happening, because the Lord is in control of the situation. Only the Lord can stop this bad situation that people are in. This song is asking for mercy over what God can stop. Like the boy in the playground, running to the teacher, only he can stop it. It's asking for his favor, as he has the ability to stop it. Just as with a slave, only their master or mistress can provide for them. The writer of the psalm is making the point that only the Lord can do something. Only the Lord can have mercy on them. Now, I have some pictures that in a second are going to go up on the screen, because only certain people can do certain things. And I'm going to give you a scenario where it's either going to be me, someone else, or someone else who can help you with this scenario. And you need to pick. So I'm going to invite Steve up, because Steve used to be a policeman. So imagine he is a policeman in this situation. I'm Reese, just plain old Reese. And there's going to be a third person coming up on the screen. So if we need to score the winning goal in the World Cup, is it going to be Mbappe, me, or Steve? Who's going to, someone put a hand up and tell me who you're going to choose. Yeah, you've all said it. Yeah, I think just about I'd edge Mbappe over myself. Okay, so what about if we need to be healed from wounds? Would it be a doctor, Reese, or Steve the policeman? The doctor, yeah, great. All right, what about someone who teaches someone how to use TikTok properly and dancing on TikTok? Is it going to be Charlie D'Amelio? D'Amelio? I can't pronounce the name. Me or Steve? Probably most of you don't even know who that is. Steve. it could be, to be fair. I've seen his moves. Yeah, I think you get the point. One last one to save you when you're in trouble. Is it going to be Reese, your pet gerbil, or Steve? Steve. Yeah, thanks, Steve. There's certain people who can do certain situations properly. You might have asked Joshua after last night to go in a boxing match for you, because he's not the best anymore. And just like with these examples, the Lord is the only one who has the power to stop bad situations. The Lord, he is in control of these situations. He's the one who can provide exactly what's needed. He is the one who can make situations better. Ultimately, he is the one those singing this song can have confidence in. He's the one they can look to because he is the Lord. He has proven it over and over again that he has power. When he rescued the Israelites from Egypt, he has shown he is the one. He has always been the one who can deal with situations. And we can likewise share in this song. We can look to our Heavenly Father. We can look to Jesus enthroned in heaven. We can look to Lord Jesus. We know that Lord is the one who ultimately has power over mercy, over being able to save people. Because when Jesus died on the cross and took the punishment for our sins, God had mercy on us. He saved us from the punishment we deserved. We should praise the King of Mercy because only the Lord can show mercy. We know the Lord is the most merciful one, the one who is able to save, as that was shown through Jesus when he died on a cross for us. What a wonderful thing that we can speak to the one who's enthroned in heaven, like the psalmist says, to you who sit enthroned in heaven. The one in heaven, the most merciful one you can speak to. What a wonderful privilege it is. In this situation, the people of God, in this psalm they sing, they want mercy from the one who can provide it. The people want to be rescued from the hard situation they're in, from the people around them. People around them are mocking them. People around them are looking down on them. If you go back, I don't need that up yet. It says verse 3, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. The people in this psalm are begging God for mercy. 3 times they use this word. 4, it says 4, in between, just after have mercy on us. 4, we have endured no end of contempt. People around them are treating them as if they're worthless. They're speaking badly to them. They're speaking awfully to them. In verse 4, it goes further. We've endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. The people in this psalm are begging for it to be stopped. They receive from the abuse they're receiving from the people around them. So look to the Lord when wicked people look down on them. That leads to our second point today. It's on the screen. Look to the Lord when people look down on you. Look to the Lord when people look down on you. Joel gave you a snippet of it, but I've actually done a fantastic picture to illustrate what is happening here. It's a world-class picture. You've just seen it. There you go. Thank you. No need for applause. It's fine. This is what's happening. You're very free to do a better drawing than I have and show it to me. I can judge whether it's better. It's bad, I know, but I want to illustrate what's going on here. People are looking down on those who trust in God, and their reaction is to look to God, the one enthroned in heaven. So that says arrogant, proud, and the bottom it says faithful. I haven't got good handwriting. But yeah, we can have that off now. When people talk badly to us about our faith, I think for a lot of us, the initial response is to get angry or react or say something back or defend ourselves. Well, what you see is that ultimately the psalmist is showing where his confidence is in. Now, I go to places like my dad's and we have chats about Christianity. He thinks I'm wrong and we disagree, but he doesn't really get annoyed about it. I don't think the psalmist is singing about those sort of situations. This song is passionate. And those singing it are in pain about the abuse they're receiving. They're not having conversations. It says they have endured no end of contempt. This is endless abuse for what they believe. These are people who think they're so much better than them. People who probably hate them, abusing them with their words, saying how stupid they are and their beliefs are. And this may be verbal abuse about anything. It doesn't actually give us specifics. And it just doesn't stop. It's people who are maliciously trying to hurt them with words. Maybe you've received abuse of being a Christian. Maybe from family or friends or co-workers. Maybe you get it often. As we've been looking at these previous weeks, these songs are songs of ascent. So they're likely songs as God's people are going up to Jerusalem to celebrate a festival. So before Jesus came. And possibly as these people are going to Jerusalem, people are saying, why are you doing that? Why are you bothering? You're an idiot. Saying nasty things. It's stupid what you're doing. Why bother with that anymore? Many people in Israel at this time, at the time of the Psalms, didn't trust the Lord. They didn't want to honor him in the right way. Now you're saying you're stupid. You're wasting your time. God doesn't even care about us. God's not even real. He doesn't care about you. Surely God would make your life better, Israel better, if he was real. It's all a lie. What's the point of trusting the Lord? Maybe it's hard for you now today. Maybe you feel the same. Maybe people mock you for being a Christian. Maybe people you know say Christianity is just, I don't know, man-made. There's no God. It's full of weak-minded. Maybe family or friends always go at you about how you're wrong. About how you're wasting your life. Maybe they're vicious with words. Maybe they're arrogant and treat you as if you're stupid. Maybe they put you down with their words. Maybe you don't have as good relationships with your family because of that. Maybe you're totally rejected by people for being a follower of Jesus. It isn't promised that life will be perfect now. Or that the contempt, the people looking down on you, is going to stop. But we can share in this prayer because if anyone can stop your mistreatment, it is the Lord. He is in control of all mercy. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't get help in situations. Fortunately, we live in a country where we are protected by a lot of things. So if you're being bullied in school or someone saying bad things at work, you can go to HR, or you can go to teachers. I say do those things. However, primarily the psalmist wants us to turn to the Lord in prayer. Turn to him because ultimately he is the one in control of all these situations. We can have utter confidence that the Lord is the only one who can stop suffering and stop people looking down on us. Because he is the one who had mercy on us when we were against God. We looked down on God. We mistreated God. We didn't love God. But through Jesus and faith in him, we now have a relationship with him. The Lord of mercy. because of his death, Jesus' death, we have a relationship with the one who's in control of it all. The one who has shown the greatest of mercies. He sits enthroned in heaven. When someone mocks, "Where is your God?" we can confidently reply, "He sits enthroned in heaven." Jesus sits enthroned. You can speak to the one enthroned. You can speak to the Lord, because the Lord of all is in heaven waiting for your prayers. It isn't promised that suffering will stop today, but doesn't mean you cannot ask the Lord in heaven. Look to him when people look down on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, that he died for our sins, that you had mercy on us. Please help us to see through this that you are the Lord of all mercy. You are the one in control of all things, and that we can turn to you. We thank you for this mercy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Please help us to turn to you in situations that are hard. In Jesus' name, amen.